Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show. And now, Jillian Michaels.
Manus.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Oh, right. You still attached to that?
I love doing that. I love to make sure people know, welcome to the show. Hey, welcome to the show. Mm. I think that's important.
Why?
Because I think it's nice to say hello and to make sure people know who's here.
You.
Jake and Nicole.
Me?
And you.
Yeah.
All
okay.
Right. There you go.
You feel good about that?
I feel better now.
Yeah. So you know my heart is black.
Yes, I've heard that.
And, you know, even though I'm funny, you know, really funny people like myself, mm-hmm. deep down, you know, we're very sad people.
So like the sad clown.
Very much, yeah. Weren't you that in The Plague in a past life? Didn't you say?
You remember that. I was a clown during the Black Plague in my past life.
Yeah.
And a sower.
And a castrated sower.
And a castrated choir boy.
But I think anyway, you're all those things now.
I think I am
projecting,
too.
But that's fine. So generally, I find that my pattern in life is to constantly recreate a pattern of disappointment. And I, according to my therapist, I put scenarios forward where I can set people up to disappoint me and then go, ha ha, you've disappointed me
yes.
again.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
I can see
and,
you doing that.
Oh my God.
I can see that as a pattern.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so discouraging and disheartening. And, you know, and it's the kind of stuff where you're like, why am I always the one that calls everybody to make plans? Why am I always the one that thinks about X, Y, or Z? How come I'm always the one that handles A, B, and C? I always go out on a limb and nobody goes out on a, you know, it's that whole sob story, right? But I think...
Control.
True. That's, yeah. And I think that I have been looking... to a certain extent, in the wrong place, or I have been incapable of, up till now, of seeing the positives where they exist. And mind you, I do think, you know, look, for the most part, we all have our own issues, right? And finding that sort of gem of a person, it is a needle in a haystack. It is. Mm-hmm. There's 7 billion people on the planet, and, you know, everybody's dealing with their own crap, so to speak, and you might not always be able to kind of step up to the plate and support people in the way you wish because you have so much going on. But, you know, that's my thing. Like, I could go on and on about, like, oh, this celebrity called me and asked me to help, and I trained them for free, and I did all this stuff, and I asked for one favor, come on the show, or could you tweet this out for me, and they didn't even answer my email. Like, I've got all, I've keep my list of ways that I've been disappointed, right?
And we do that. You're not alone.
Really?
Of course.
God.
We keep it a little Rolodex.
All the things, like all the people and like the naughty or nice list, you know, since that's still top of the mind as the holidays have just passed. It's like, all right, this person, this. It's like ridiculous. And so anyway, on this project I've been working on, I found that, you know, whenever you have to collaborate, it's a risky business, right? And the reality is that certain people, if their name's not on it, you know, they go in, they punch the clock, they go home. And that's, you know, they're like, I'm not going to stick my neck out. It's not, you know, I don't benefit tremendously if this works or it doesn't work. And they don't care. They don't care enough to fix it. Or they just are like, I want to make the, what's the path of least resistance for me to get paid, stamp, you know, punch the clock and get out. Mm. So anyway, and I've had a lot of failures because of that. And it's like, I can't control everything. I can't control everyone. It's been really frustrating. And there's this one project that has required a Herculean endeavor to keep it on track and on the rails. And there were a few individuals involved in this project that really stuck their neck out. To know, I mean, I tried to make it worth their while, but they had nothing to gain in doing so. Like, yes, it worked. Yay, that's great. You can say, oh, it was a part of that project and it worked. But if it doesn't work, they all go on to work again. You know what I mean? They get paid. And it's like, they all go on to work again. What do they care? But in fighting a fight for me on many different levels, they did jeopardize themselves. They did put themselves out there. And I was talking to my shrink and I was like, I realize that's such a foreign, like, A, I am paying attention to it. B, it's so foreign for me that I just am like, oh my God, really? You're working on this until, you know, you stayed until 3 a.m. to work on this, but you came in on the weekend to work on this? Like, you got in a fight over X, Y, and Z about this? Like, 3 different people. And I am astounded that they would take it upon themselves to care, essentially on my behalf.
They believe in you.
But who would care? To be honest with you, for most of my life, it's like, yeah, I like you, you know, when it's convenient to like you or if we're on the same page, but I'm not going to go out on a limb for you. Unless we're in bed together. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're on the same project, if the stakes are the same, I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I have a few people that, you know, in my life have been that way. There's a few. There's, you know, it's like, there's you with this. There's, you know, my assistant Cody. We don't like Nicole, but that's okay. But this is big for me to kind of, I guess what the point I'm trying to make is, are you missing that? Like, are there people that have done things for you that you just overlook because you're so caught up in being a victim or being a martyr or playing out your patterns? Because this was big for me. And then I turned around and I bought every single present I could buy. Send a Sunday bar. Send, you know, boxes and boxes of cookies.
That is so your
Bringing
animal.
Bottles of wine. Sending champagne.
It's the old way of saying they wouldn't have done that. I have to pay them for liking me. You know that
maybe or just like because I feel guilty. I'm like, oh my God, you did all this for me. How do I make this worth your while? You know,
I think you have to take on like
indebted. I don't want to feel indebted.
But look
Who
at
knows?
Politicians. Politicians have an army, a fierce army of people that just simply do it because they believe in the candidate. You know, like maybe you should read a biography of some person like that, because you find it so amazing that people would want to be in your court.
Cause it requires sacrifice. You know, it was a lot of work for these people and it was a lot of confrontation for these people. And if this thing fails, they go on to work another day quite safely. You know, it's very easy to point fingers in a million different directions, and it's usually the face of any project that gets the fingers pointed. I'm always the one that pays the biggest price, whether it's an infomercial on TV for fitness, a product like, you know, that I endorsed, or clothing line, you know, it could be anything.
Sure, your head.
Oh, Jillian Michaels' brand is dead. Not that this piece of clothing sucked, or this product sucked, or that sucked, or the show sucked, or the whatever sucked. It's always you as the front man, right? You take the biggest hit. And, you know, for other people who are like, I just designed this pair of pants. It doesn't matter what they look. I did my job. I was supposed to design the pants. There they are. Instead of, even though it's not about the clothing, I'm just using an example. of, I might say, you know, I don't like that style. I don't want to do this. Or can we look into that? Or can we fight this fight here? Or can we jeopardize? The bottom line is, I just think I finally found those people that were willing to go out on a limb for me. Because I always feel like I try to go out on a limb for other people. That's the first time I really noticed that. Outside of the few hand-selected people that I can trust with anything, right? Because these people I haven't known for 10 years.
But you just said...
I just knew them. I just met them.
That's interesting what you just said, in the fact that, you know, what you produce is you. You're right. Other people go... You're right. I'm repeating what you just said, but I just kind of... It just kind of resonated for me. Like, you're not just saying, here's a pair of pants I made. Do you like it or not?
Yeah.
Every time. So, but that's why your investment, though, that's why you take it personally, though.
Just getting socks
while you talk. You take it personally, because I think you have to take it personally.
You have to take it personally. Like, if you're thinking that you want someone to listen to your podcast, watch your show, buy your pants, buy your Nordic Track treadmill, like, you got to take it personally. You got to make sure that it's good, right? That it does what it says. It delivers on its promise. And, you know, because people who buy that are supporting you. You need to support them with honesty and quality. Mm-hmm. But the people who are working for that product, they don't care. It's not their livelihood.
So the difference for you is now you're finding people who
have just sacrificed on my behalf,
on your behalf.
I can't figure out why. I'm so grateful, but it's definitely a weird feeling. And I'm like, I just don't even know what to do with it. I'm like, oh my God, Nicole, go take this.
Go buy them something.
Buy, you know, like, we've bought two huge things of cupcakes and cookies. We sent a sundae bar over.
But you know what?
I don't even know. I'm like, oh my God, send wine, get a champagne, go over there. It's just
But you know what, Jillian, on the flip side, is there's so many people that do such great work for other people because they believe in them and they get nothing. Like that, you know what I mean? Like, on the flip side, I know you're thinking, God, I need to pay them. But you know what? It's a lovely thing too, because so many people they're just not acknowledged. And they work their asses off and they're not acknowledged.
G said something the other day. He's like, you know, something is, we had an employee issue, and there are always employee issues. It's just part of, and I kind of liken it to, you know, you kiss a lot of frogs when you're looking for the one. Mm-hmm. Well, in a company, you know, you hire a bunch of people, and some people are not right and some people are. And that's, you know, that's life. When you find the ones that are right, you know, you should value that person, even on a bad day. Like, you should show them that they matter to you. So they stay. Otherwise, you know, you're going to pay the ultimate price.
Nope.
But how the hell did I get... Oh, but G was telling me that when he was a kid, his dad was like, you know what? No matter what you're doing, take pride in your work. Take pride in your work. And it pays off. And so, like, this one girl who went out way out on a limb for me, like, I have done everything I can to help advance her career. And I think, you know what's interesting about this? It is paying off for her. Because she is shining. And people are seeing the effort. And she is being rewarded for it. I think a lot of times people are like, it's not my problem, I'm going to punch my clock, play it safe, and go home. Well, she did put it all out there, and it's working out for her. She's being rewarded for these efforts. But if you take pride in your work and you do the best you absolutely can, I really do think it only benefits you. And I would simply say to the person who's more like me, that's so disillusioned and jaded, maybe, are you looking in the right place? Are you taking into account everything that's going on? Is it, maybe even it's just the mail guy that always makes sure your packages show up right to the front door and they're not broken, instead of tossing them up there and they shatter. It's little things like that.
Okay, I'm going to put one more
hit me.
Fly in the ointment.
Yeah.
There is something to be said, though, about people who can do their work, clock out, and let it go. Like, there is something to be said. They do live a very, you know what I mean? Like, I can't. I get too emotionally invested with people I work for.
I don't
think
that's a good quality.
You don't?
No.
I'm going to butt in real quick.
Do it.
I think that if you're able to do that, you're not truly invested.
You don't care.
And you're, yeah.
I agree.
That's weird
to
me.
Do you? See, I
don't want those people working for me. And
the jobs,
and unfortunately, some of them do.
The jobs that I like,
Nicole,
and the ones that I really
worthless.
Like, when I leave, I still think about things. And I still, oh, we could do this, we could do that. And I take inspiration from, you know, I'm thinking, I always try to think of, like, what's a good segment? You
he
know,
does. He sends me things all the time. He sent me one for a market. It was a conflict.
but
it was a great one.
But look at, and I agree. And I am not that, I am with you guys. I'm of the same ilk. But I know that there's people that live these very kind of, I just use the word clean lives.
Simple.
They remove themselves from the job so that they just go, all right. And they're able to shut the door. If the work's not done, they still shut the door.
Yeah, but they're, you know what? There's a great saying. If you're not in a hurry, you're going nowhere fast.
But also, those jobs are probably like supermarket, you know,
Speaking
office store.
Speaking of those jobs, like, though, like, here's a great story for you. I met a kid, I want to say 12 years ago. Really good looking kid. And he was about 10 years younger than me. And he was friends with some friends and whatever. And he was working as a host at a restaurant.
Right.
At like a, you know, let me take you to your table. Here's a menu. But like with the greatest little personality and the greatest attitude. And I remember him talking about, you know, I take pride in what I do. And he, to make a long story short, this kid was like, I always wanted to play Superman. And I was like, that's cute. And he was good looking enough to play Superman. And it went to Brandon Routh. Do you remember that movie 100,000 years ago? It was like 1,000 years ago, this kid, Brandon Routh, Superman, whatever. Like, okay. Not 8, 9, whatever. Well, to make a long story short, guess who's the new Superman?
The kid?
The kid, Henry Cavill.
Wow.
That's the kid. Yeah, that's the guy.
Interesting.
And I saw that, and I remember seeing him on, come on, Jill, on that Showtime show that he was on, at the Tudors. He was on that for a while. And I was like, good for him. And that was years later. And then, of course, he became Superman. And I was like, that's amazing. And I love that story so much because, you know, here's a guy who was just a good dude and who, you know, looked like gorgeous, like a supermodel. And was like, you know, working at a table, wasn't even waiting tables and was nothing but lovely and had no ego and showed people and he was like, I'm going to do this. And it's got to be 10 years later, he became Superman. And I think the point is, if you don't clock out, if you don't, you know, if you do invest, no matter what it might be, you will get noticed. It will pay off. You will move up the ladder. And yeah, is it going to be a harder path? Yes. Is it going to involve more stress? Yes. But the payoff is going to be so much greater. This whole thing was supposed to be about appreciating people, but I think there is a bigger lesson here, and I think it is that you shouldn't clock out.
But Julie, okay, one more fly. Don't forget, this is you are in the heart of Los Angeles, right? Where every move you make is who's watching me, or is there somebody in the thing? Like, I'm making a very general statement about Los Angeles,
yeah,
and I don't mean it like
you're
that.
You're not wrong. You're right.
However, there's something truly also very healthy about not always bringing your work and carrying your work with you everywhere you go. There is something healthy about separating it. Isn't that one of the biggest issues we have and people that just can't let go?
That's what the whole E! Show is about.
Really?
Oh my God! It's
so your work is everywhere around you.
Yeah.
So you're never not present.
There's got to be a balance though. Like everything in life, it's like you still have to care. I think boundaries are good, but I think you still have to care. And sometimes, and the other thing about work though is that it does ebb and flow. So for me, I'm kind of like, if you're on a project and it's on, then you get in there. It's on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
I
then
do.
You
I
get
do.
A break. But it's like I've had things where I'm like, it's on, dude. We're in it. It's 16-hour days for a couple of months. Like, we're in this now. And then you get your break. But it's kind of like if you take it on, you take it on. Take it on. And it does pay off. It does.
Yeah. I
hope.
Think.
Except for Nicole.
Except for, all right. Well, I think that's it. Jillian, hang on.
I've had an epiphany.
Oh, you have?
Well, I've had it for a while, but I thought I'd share it today.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I realize that there are not just two components to diet or nutrition. There are three. Can you guess them?
Components to diet?
Yeah. Successful dieting, so to speak. To formulating your own game plan.
Oh,
if
God.
You will. What are the things that matter the most?
Well, that it's good food.
Quality. Yeah.
Quality.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. If it's smart, like if it's your body type, if it matches your body type.
No.
Okay.
That's not.
Another component would be If everything's in place for it to happen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think that's a good component, though.
What are you talking about?
Well, like if you have the support and the money and the thing to support the diet.
Yeah, but that's not an actual diet. That's just how to be successful on a diet.
I don't have a freaking clue.
That's not a diet.
I don't know. I don't know. You asked me. Oh. You know what? Do you know anything about diet nutrition? I think you do. So I'm. So you have to tell me because
well,
I know
the obvious
things.
Ones would be quantity of food, right? That matters.
That's good. Yes.
Okay, and quality of food.
And quality.
That matters. But when we talk about quality of food, you know, we've been very clear. We're talking about getting rid of the fake fat, fake sugar, fake flavor, all the preservatives, the pesticides, and all that crap, which is common sense, right? Which applies to anybody and everybody. Whether you buy into the blood type crap or the frickin' this diet, that diet, whatever. Those are the two universal rules of diet. And I don't mean weight loss even, just healthy eating, okay. Right? The two universal rules. If you want to gain weight, the quality and the quantity of your food matter. If you want to lose weight, the quantity and the quality of your food matter.
Right.
If you want to maintain weight, the quantity, the quality of your food matter. But then we start looking at all these diets. And I've often said, like, none of this matters. It doesn't matter if you want to gain weight, lose weight, maintain weight. And I mean whether you're vegan, whether you're paleo, whether you're, you know, the gluten-free is very debatable for people because they feel very strongly about that. But, you know, I have my own theories about that, you know, if you don't have celiac disease. But, you know, we'll leave that one out of it. We'll say I'm a zone dieter. I eat 30, 30, 40, right? 30 carbs or 40 carbs, 30 protein, 30 fat, whatever it might be. These various macronutrient ratios. But some of these, I'm a faster. I fast X amount of, you know, I'm a cleanser. All this stuff.
Yep.
None of this stuff is going to affect whether you lose weight, whether you gain weight, or whether you maintain weight. It isn't. It's not. And that's...
Yeah, there's people that believe, though.
No, right. It's like a religion. It's like, but what it is, and here's what's interesting about that stuff, is that the third component of being successful with your, quote, diet regimen is your personality. And that stuff is a reflection of your personality. It's how you identify. I identify as vegan. I identify as paleo. It says something about who you are. It's a choice based on your personality. Or I'm the Mediterranean diet. Or I'm the, you know, all these various diets that people follow are making a proclamation about who they believe themselves to be. And that's where I would simply say, look, if you follow the two rules we talk about, right? The quantity and the quality of your food. That third component is really the creativity of your diet. That's where you can really kind of say, this is who I am, this is what I like. And if you work within those components, it doesn't really matter. People are like, oh, I read that if I eat, you know, all my calories at this time and then I don't eat from these hours to these hours, that's all baloney. Every single study shows us that it doesn't matter when you eat your calories as long as it's the same amount of calories. Now, food timing can affect how many calories you eat, and that's the only reason it matters. Because if you're like, I snacked all day long and you lost track and you overate, or I skipped breakfast and then I got so hungry I overate at lunch because my blood sugar was too low. So food timing only matters in relation to how much it causes you to eat or not to eat.
So are you talking... I find this really interesting because it's a much deeper statement about...
You could be eating a ton of healthy food. But if you're overeating, you're still going to gain weight.
No, but I mean the part in which you're saying that it's your person. It's almost like a who you want to like. Are you?
It's like a religion, dude.
But it's also it's like
I'm Buddhist.
Wanting to belong to something.
For
like,
sure.
So it's a. So you're saying, is it almost like a way of saying
this is who I am?
This is who I am.
Oh yeah.
By
and
what
I mean,
yeah.
This is who I. And it's like, and I think is. But if you identify with it and you're passionate about it, it helps you kind of stick to it that much more. So, look, I have real issues with paleo for a million different reasons, one of which is that I don't think it's environmentally sound. I just don't think, you know, we cannot have 7 billion people eating meat all the time. You just can't. The planet can't sustain it.
Right.
It just can't. And, you know, keep in mind, like, for me, look how I've started to really morph the way I think about my physical health based on my personal beliefs now. So even though advice I've given before about physical health, I've started to compromise in my own life because of my personal beliefs. So
which shift in time?
Oh,
which,
yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's like I eat some meat, but very sparingly, and only the best quality of meat. Because it's like I get anemic. I do need to have some red meat once in a while, and I do eat some seafood. But then I'm like, okay, you know, how can I be as environmentally sound with my seafood? And, you know, how can I be as environmentally sound with my meat choices? And I also, I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, these are little sentient beings. And I know this is nature. I appreciate all of that. You know, but I think that I take a very, like, when I look at, like, the way the Native Americans used to consume food, like, they would kill a buffalo because they needed it, and they would use every part of that buffalo, yes, and they would give absolutely. Thanks to the earth, and they would acknowledge, you know, that life, and they would be grateful for the food. And I think we've lost that. I think as a culture, like, I don't remember the last time, unless you're religious and you say grace out of habit, like, I don't remember the last time somebody was like, this is a life. This was a life that has been taken so I can live. Like, I think we've lost that connection to the planet and the cycle of life. It's gotten so gross. Factory farms and all of that. That's what I'm like, no. I can't buy into this system. The system's broken. If it wasn't like that, if it was like I was living off the land and I was killing a cow, yep, and it had had a humane life and it had reached maturity and I needed to eat and feed my family, absolutely all day long. But factory farms, hell no. Evil.
Now,
I just think it's fine. Some, what do you identify with? That's what I'm really trying to say is that's why I personally don't like paleo, is because I'm like, come on, man. You know, you really need all that meat? Do you really need to do, the planet can't sustain it? But that's my personal thing, and it works for me. So this is where I'm saying to people, like, you've got some room here to kind of create your own path, write your own script, because that isn't actually going to affect if you're watching the quality of your food and you're watching the quantity. For the most part, your health's going to be rock solid. This is a personality game.
Then do you think that people who do you think it's a lack of something in their life that they attach so strongly to a certain diet, to the feeling to belong to something bigger than themselves?
For sure, we all go through that, absolutely. But that's why things like the blood type diet, people buy into that. Oh, it's made for me.
Oh, I see.
That's why people read horoscopes. That's a bunch of crap. Someone the other day who I really like was like, I hope she's not listening to this show, was like, what sign are you? And I was like, oh, no. And, you know, it's bunk. Of course you want to believe I'm an Aquarius and this is what it means. And it's special about me. And then it gets even more special because this is my moon and this is my rising.
Or it gives you an excuse
for
certain behaviors.
Carl Sagan did a whole thing. He's like, this is absurd. There's nothing to this. Nothing. It's ridiculous. And it's like, you know, there's no... The gravitational pull of you on me right now is greater than the gravitational pull of the moon and the stars when we were born, because they're so far away. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. There's nothing to it, but people love it. Nike ID, create your own shoe. You know, personalize it, everything. Data about you, you, personal information. People love it, and that's great. Use it to your advantage. What does it say about you? Fantastic. If it works for you, God bless.
But it's got nothing to do with
it. No, and that's what I'm trying to say. The personality quotient, whether you're vegan or whether you're paleo, because by the way, like, I could show you athletes that are paleo, and I could show you athletes that are vegan. It doesn't see at that follow the same rule, quantity and quality, right? As in, they don't eat fake foods and they eat the right amount of energy for whatever it is they're pursuing. But like, I could show you this kid teenager that I work with, the most ridiculous, insane, sick athlete, Frank Medrano, vegan, both of them. T barely eats meat anymore. Frank is vegan. Marco Borges, this ridiculous athlete who trained like J-Lo, Jay-Z, Beyonce, vegan. And then, you know, isn't LeBron vegan? Didn't he go vegan? One of those great athletes just went vegan. And then, but then, I think it's a little easier for men because they don't get anemic. Or very rarely. But then I could show you incredible athletes that are paleo.
Yeah.
Hello? I mean, it's kind of like, look, you know, you got to pick one of these things that means something to you. And I would just ask you, like, if you are paleo, I think at some point it's like, we do have to have a come to Jesus about this. Come on, pay attention. You know, we gotta, don't take more than you need, because we're not able to sustain meat eating on mass like that for 7 billion people. It's just not sustainable. Yep. But I get that you like that principle. I just think it doesn't always need to be meat all the time.
Well, there are a lot of cultures that have almost completely vegetarian dishes.
Indian,
yeah. Almost all vegetarian.
Yeah, heaven, by the way, that food.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And when you're there, it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
When I was in India, I was like, oh my God, I could do this here. Yeah, and I can make this work here.
We're all about
our... because there's a cow walking down the street. That's why. Hello.
But we're all about our, like, barbecues and stuff, you know, like the big slabs of meat.
Yep.
America.
That's right. But America does need to evolve. There's not going to be any America.
Right.
Not going to be any world. So, but I guess that's all I'm saying is just think about kind of what does your diet say about you and does it work for you? And as long as you follow the two golden rules, this third component is up to you.
Yeah. No, it's interesting.
It is.
Absolutely. Because people are quite...
Raw diet. You right. don't need to eat raw. In fact, it gives you gas. You don't always get the most nutrients. Macrobiotic, the opposite of raw. I've seen a macrobiotic person and a raw person, both perfectly fine. One farts more than the other. End of story. You know what I'm saying? Like, I eat raw. Because what does that say about you? I'm hippie, earthy, whatever.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
It's become what car do you drive, where your job, and what's your diet.
It
and
is.
That defines you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that, but people think, here's the only reason I'm really bringing this up, is that they think it's an answer to weight loss. And it's not. Eating raw is not going to make you lose more weight. Eating macrobiotic is not going to make you lose more weight. Eating vegan is not going to make you lose more weight. Eating paleo is not going to make you lose more weight. The two
because
things.
What are the two things?
Quantity and quality. Quality. Is that your way of ending this?
Yes.
All right, I'm fine. Oh, Manus.
Yes.
Are you ready to hear what I think are going to be fitness trends in the new year?
All right, yeah, I do.
They've been around, but, like, they haven't gotten their due.
All right.
Yeah, beets.
Beets, love the beets.
But beet supplement. Supplemented beets.
Oh, I just hoovered the beets, and then my peas red.
Guessing, yeah, I thought I had a massive kidney infection, and I realized it was a beet
yeah.
salad.
Caveman Paul loves the beets.
Yeah.
He boils them and
they're
eats them.
Really good for you.
Oh my God, you can put them on anything.
Well,
anything.
What they do is they're loaded with vitamin K, believe it or not. And they essentially they're loaded with nitrates, good nitrates, mm-hmm. natural, that convert to nitric oxide when digested, which lowers your blood pressure, and it helps increase your stamina. Huh?
No, but that,
there's a supplement out there with this in it that I've been seeing at the store that I've wanted to try. It's like a beet shot.
My sister grew the beets in the garden
Where
this
is that
year.
Bad boy? Well, there's one called Beet It.
Beets.
Oh, really?
And then you just eat them.
Look at
eat,
this.
Just eat it.
Beet Elite. Beet. What's that one? Yeah, look. Help support strength, endurance, and recovery. This is going to be the thing. I wish that I could get my people to...
And beets
one.
Are very easy beet to it? Grow. If you have a community garden, if you don't have your own garden, and you're get
you
them
know me.
Beets in there.
I always want to supplement because I
no,
want
I know
to
you
get
like
the maximum
I'm
amount.
Just saying.
But seriously, like if you want to talk endurance, if you're an endurance athlete, you got to look into this.
Well,
instead of taking like Oxydrain and all that crap, like this is really cool. This is the thing. I'm telling you, I'm going to start it.
And if
five
you want
beet juice products for endurance athletes, look into this, Manus.
Well, and if you want to be funny at supper and you're eating the beets,
yeah.
just put them all in your teeth and go like this. And people, it looks like you got
this
the
is the one I've been seeing. Red Ace, that's the one I've been seeing. It's organic and it's a beet performance supplement. Isn't that cool?
My mom used to make a bunch of pickled
2
beets.
2 ounces.
Oh
best.
My God, my mom made pickled beets too every year, and her hands would be like red from just. But oh my God, they're so good. And yeah, it preserves it so all year long.
Yeah,
I know Jillian's still like, looking for the supplements.
Well, but you know, it's like turmeric is the thing, and it's like this is the thing. I'm claiming it. Beets,
all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Beet supplements.
Beets. All right, next.
They're not sexy, but the results are. All right, here's the next one. I think this is supposedly. This has been around for thousands of years, but I think it's the new acupuncture. Cupping.
I've had cupping!
Come on.
I seriously have had
Stop
cupping.
It. Stop it.
Yes.
Well,
and it is amazing.
Well, so, okay, so here's what it is. Essentially, somebody takes a heated glass cup, mm-hmm. and they place it on your skin, and it creates suction. And the suction causes your blood vessels to dilate. It's like a big hickey. And what it's supposed to do is increase blood flow to the area... and help reduce pain and accelerate healing.
Have you not seen somebody with a cup hickey?
Heidi had them on her back.
Yeah. And you see people and you're looking at their back going, oh my God, yeah. Sister, what up with your back? That yeah. is some bad, nasty ass disease you have.
Yeah, but, cupping.
Yeah, and it'll what stay for, it can stay on your body for days and days.
Small but harmless circular abrasions.
Yes.
That fade after a few days.
And it makes fun noises too when you're in there with your therapist.
Say it takes several sessions. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not covered by insurance. But if you want to find a person who can do it, you're supposed to go to ncaaom.org.
True, because not every massage therapist will do it, or not every
acupuncturist. Yeah, and there was a whole study on it that was in this journal PLOS-1. Who knows, a medical journal? But they studied it for 3 months, and they found that it had a significant effect at reducing lower back pain. More so than non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and physical therapy. That's incredible.
Well, think about it. It's just sucking on that skin and all.
You'd think it's like leeches, though. It seems so primitive, but I think it's going to be the new acupuncture, Manus.
I'm going to do it myself. I'm just going to get the toilet plunger, and I'm going to just suck it right onto
Or
me.
You could, you don't have anyone your date. If you did, I would say that you
on
could
my
just
date?
Get a hickey.
Try and get a hickey.
No,
Could you please suck on my lower back just for a minute? My love.
Yeah.
Yeah. My darling, please suck on my back.
But they're like big hickeys.
They're big. You can get the big. Oh, you can get mini ones too. There are mini cups. Ooh, like my brassiere. Meow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the
creepy?
What's the next one, Julia?
And then here's this new one. Jake actually brought this up a little while ago. And I'm kind of intrigued by this. It's called the Impossible Burger. And I think this is, I think a lot of people would tend to eat less meat simply because it's better for the environment and it's expensive, man. Meat's expensive. If it wasn't all like soy and it didn't all taste like crap. And, this isn't actually what I'm talking about. There's this hot dog that we get the kids that's like grains and veggies, but it actually doesn't taste exactly like a hot dog, but it's also not disgusting. And the kids like it, so we're like, all right, whatever. But this thing called the Impossible Cheeseburger is, listen to this. Veggie burgers come in various kinds and can be utterly delicious, but I hate the, for me, I hate the bean burger. Disgusting. Hate it. Can't get
dry
it.
Dry.
Well, it's the texture of it.
Yeah.
Listen to this. This is a biochemist who came up with this at Stanford. It looks, and I'm looking right at it. It looks just like the real thing, but it's all plant ingredients. Google this, Impossible Cheeseburger. It tastes like meat. It has a similar texture. It tastes like a cross between beef and turkey. This is creepy, but it leaves a blood-like moisture on the plate, which is gross, but it's not actually blood. So, burgers, the red juice
yes.
in the burger. I think this is a thing, maybe.
But what is it? Like, what ingredient is it?
It's different plants, but, this is achieved using a chemical compound known as heme. Heme protein that can be found in hemoglobin. A red pigment in blood, the roots of nitrogen-fixing plants, and essentially symbiotic bacteria.
You know what you're doing? You're sitting on the toilet for an hour after you eat that thing.
That
thing is colon blow.
I don't think so. They've got $75 million in venture capital to pursue this. Hello, including funding from Google and Bill Gates. Is this for real, dude? Because this is the future. I'm not kidding. Come on, this is the future. We cannot. We got to open our eyes. We cannot consume meat the way we have been.
No,
just cannot.
I just anything with that much kind of plant substance in it, is going to be. I'd be curious to see what it does to your po-po.
Yeah.
Do the po-po.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying keep these are the things, man. I'm calling it now, and I'm never wrong. Remember when I was talking about coconut?
No, you're never wrong.
No.
That's right.
No, I'm never wrong.
I forgot. How could I have forgotten that?
Everybody with coke. Everyone was on soy, and I was like, no, it's all about coconut. Now, coconut water, coconut oil, coconut milk.
You never got me that coconut chair. Did you know that I asked for that coconut chair 4 years ago? Mm. Never did you give me the coconut chair.
No.
I'm house sitting for Joe right now, the manager here.
And guess what? It was real. Yeah, go ahead.
Guess what kind of sugar I used?
What?
Coconut sugar.
Yeah. Told you. I don't think that's I don't think the chair was real. I think it was airbrushed. Didn't I tell you that?
Well, I know, but you could have asked them.
But I told you it's not
people.
Real. It's a Photoshop of a coconut.
Well, what were you sitting in then?
Like a beanbag.
You mean it was that you weren't actually sitting in a fake coconut?
No. Where have you been?
I don't know. I've been in Canada for a long time.
Not the wheezing. We haven't got a ton of the wheezing recently.
Oh, man. Well, that's very good. I love about the beets. I'm a very big advocate of the cups, and I'm not so sure about the Impossible Burger, but I am willing to give it a try. I just don't like the fact it's fake blood on my plate. That kind of turns me off.
It's better than real blood.
This is true.
Come on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, very good. That's Fitness Trends for 2016 on the Jillian Michaels Show. Right, we're back, and Amber wrote to the Jillian Podcast at gmail.com and has a very interesting dilemma, and I will let Amber tell it to you.
Uh-oh.
So, Jillian, Amber, Jillian.
Hello.
Hey, Jillian.
Hi, buddy. How can I help? What's going on?
Okay, so here's kind of the story. I wrote in kind of hoping that maybe you could cover the health issues that involves having pet feces and pee in your house, kind of just lingering around. I got a buddy of mine, as crazy as this is, actually has a pooper in her house.
What's a pooper?
Where the dogs go
a poop room.
Poop and pee.
It's a poop in the room, not a pooper. Room? A poop room. It's a whole room they have, right?
Come on.
It's like a loft area. Yeah, and it's just, they go there and they poop and pee. And it's not like she puppy pad trained them or any of that. It's just legitly an area of the house that they go to. And it's just there.
Why doesn't she just get him a dog door?
wants a poop room.
I
think we need to reach out to
but,
the EPA.
You know, it's one of those things where it's probably a little more common than people realize. I actually thought about this years ago because
Nicole,
I used
that.
To go in and out of people's houses all the time, and I'd go into, clean houses, and you look, and bam, there's poop and piss all over the house.
See, I know where Amber's coming. I have a hard time sometimes when, you know, there'll be like a cat, you know, the cat pooper little house. And sometimes it's like in the kitchen. And it's like, really?
Oh, the litter box?
The litter box.
Yeah, there's no.
I'm stumped.
No, you're not even looking at a litter box.
It's just a room. What's on the floor? Just the floor?
I think.
It's like laminate, I guess.
I think this woman's just given up, actually.
How do you mean?
I think she's given up. You know, like, I think you're just giving up on life, I think.
Like, this is a legit, like, I swear, like, if you met this person, you would never even imagine that this would be a thing. Because
did you ever ask her?
They are super organized.
Well,
Everything else in the house has a place. Like, and then
I mean,
all of a sudden
I'm Googling this, and it says that there are 23 million fecal coliform bacteria, which are known to cause cramps, diarrhea, intestinal illness, and serious kidney disorders in humans. Yeah. And the EPA estimates that 2 or 3 days' worth of droppings from a population of 100 dogs would contribute enough bacteria to temporarily close a bay. Whoa. How many dogs does she have? This is serious. Why is she doing this?
She only has two.
Two dogs. Okay. I think she needs some help. You know that show, Hoarders? Mm-hmm. It's very Hoarders / My Strange Addiction, this situation. Yeah, man. You know, Heidi loves that show, My Strange Addiction. Like people that eat couches and things. Mm-hmm. It's real, Janice.
No, I believe it,
it's not a laughing matter.
No, but I think you're right in the fact that it could be it's got to be a bigger issue.
She's given up.
Really?
She's given up. Yeah, that's what I think. I think she's given up. I think you need to maybe call someone. Like an intervention. That's what I think.
Yeah. An intervention?
Yeah, I think so.
But how would she even broach that?
Hey,
what's the intervention?
I want you to know that you have a room dedicated to piss and shit. It's not, you know, normal. And I think we need to make some changes. And we're all here to help you do that. And we bought you a dog door for Christmas. What about that? No? Nobody? No?
I feel like
I'm making good sense here.
There's definitely been a good 4 or 5 of us. It's just been like, seriously? Like, seriously. She even sometimes makes fun of it, honestly.
Huh. I don't know. Yeah, Nicole's got all the parasites. This is a thing. Yeah.
I really think you need an intervention.
I don't think she might need it, though.
Why? Does she not have a yard? Why doesn't she walk the dog?
She has a yard.
But she doesn't have she doesn't
there's
have
There's definitely no dog walking, though. It's kind of like let the dogs out, and they just kind of roam.
Why doesn't she get a dog door?
I have no idea. Well, I don't know. I mean, the yard's not fenced in, so I guess she could, you know, the dogs can't really just go out and run around.
All right, this is my recommendation. Here we go. I'm going to give you a three-step plan. Number one, buy a dog door. Number two, get all your friends together, hold an intervention. Number three, find the name of a low-fee therapist and book an appointment. That's what I think.
So you do think it's a bigger issue?
Really, Janice? Really?
Well, I get the dog. If she hasn't got a fence yard, she's not just going to put a dog door and let the dogs run out.
She has a fence yard. She has a yard. She said she has a yard.
But it's not fenced.
Put a fence up. That's my suggestion, bud. Let me know how it goes.
All right, Amber.
We can definitely approach it that way.
That's what I would do. And I'd like a report back.
Okay.
Oh, everybody. Give that
I
a try.
I feel like it's not going to go over too well, but we can.
Well, I don't think you've got much to lose here.
Okay. I'll let you know for sure.
All right, Amber. All right, thanks buddy. For calling, Amber.
Have a great night.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Wow, really, Janice?
What?
I know you did that on purpose.
No, I...
Not that Amber isn't a lovely girl, but...
No, Amber's, really? Amber is...
There wasn't even a question there. My friend has a room filled with piss and shit. Go.
No.
Seriously?
Amber wanted some help, and you didn't want to help her because you were stymied by it.
No, you ambushed me.
No, I did not.
Yes, you
I would
did.
Not do that.
I could hear you wheezing at home at your little computer when you saw that question.
No.
Yeah.
Because Amber's got it. No, because and Amber, this isn't against you. She's not saying that. This is about the question. Yeah. What was your advice?
What am I meant
you had
to do?
No help for
I
her.
I did help her.
You said
I
get
said,
a dog door.
Get a dog door. Yeah. Have an intervention and find some help for her.
Well, how do you intervene that?
I know what you did. I know. See? There. And the truth comes out. Yeah, look.
No.
Look at you. You did it on purpose.
No,
you were like, this will be so funny. You, who's like, we need to get back on topic. We need to be more snappy. We got to get back to the roots. Cherry picked a question for me about dog piss and shit.
I'm just saying.
That's what
you
did.
You've got experience with it. You have experience
a
with
a shit room?
Remember when Duke went and crapped all over Lou's?
He was sick, Janice. I didn't designate a room to feces.
He designated the attic to it, right?
Yes, but I cleaned it up, blocked him out. It wasn't like I said, hey, Duke, shit here in Lou's attic. Here we go, boy. Come on.
I just thought since you had some experience, you might be more of help, but you were no help. Hmm. You were no help. You were so
I know what you did.
Off-butt.
And I know that what you're doing is, you're sabotaging my greatness.
Oh, your greatness.
You're sabotaging my greatness, and you're making sure that I never get a Marconi. it's funny to you because it's true.
We'll try again next week. There's always another week.
I'm done.
Okay.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.